Hello, everybody!
I love that. It always wakes me up.
Welcome to Off the Cup with Hoppy and Hobbs.
Wow.
And don't forget, like, share, subscribe. Let's get these numbers cranking. We're going global. Our Spotify numbers were wonderful this year, but good we job. Didn't post them.
That's all right.
And just a special shout out. Happy non-Facebook birthday to Hoppy.
Yeah, that's right. 12-12. Yep. Facebook birthday.
Happy non-birthday Facebook birthday.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
And for all the people that listen to the podcast will understand what that means.
Yes, you will.
Wow. So a great week in Major League Baseball. There was actually something to talk about.
I know. It was great. Bunch of stuff that, you know, without having winter meetings, which are supposed to be going on right now, it's nice to see some transactions going.
Biggest transaction of the year. Brandon Morrow signs a minor league deal with the Dodgers.
Yes. It's hard to believe. He was like 3 years ago that he was there, and then he was gone, and then he was hurt, and now he's back.
Yay.
It's crazy.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for him.
Whew, wow. The winter meetings, one of the craziest winter meetings of all time. Transactions coming out of everywhere. There was like 15 every day.
Normally.
Oh, that didn't happen.
Normally. No, it didn't happen. It's 2020.
It was so, the winter meetings were so slow that the Rule 5 draft happened and I didn't even know it was happening until after it was over.
You know, and that's the tough part. This is where a lot of people go and network and try to get jobs like inside baseball and, you know, just show up and try to meet somebody. It ain't happening this year.
No, it's so frustrating. And you would watch like 6 hours of coverage on the MLB network and they'd be interviewing people and then there'd be people falling into fountains and all kinds of stuff going on and people falling off chairs and none of that.
None of it.
Don't get to watch the 2 a.m. broadcast with everybody's like their makeup's running and their hair's messy.
Yeah. What was it like? What was the movie with Tom Cruise? And, you know, show me the money.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no money.
Bringing them through there, walking your free agent, trying to hook up a deal. Not happening.
Well, it happened to two people that I know of that got major league deals. And one of them went to the White Sox and his name was Adam Eaton.
Adam Eaton. Mm. Well, interesting because he was with the White Sox, went to the Nationals. And now he's re-signing with the White Sox and going to play with the guys that he got traded for.
Yeah. And one of them is a perennial Cy Young winner now.
Yeah. It's legit.
Yeah, Lucas Giolito.
Giolito. Yeah, that guy.
And he wasn't even like the main player that they got back. He was like the throw-in third guy because they expected the other pitcher to be the ace.
Right.
Like the main number one guy. So congratulations to him. So I know you had a lot of stuff you want to talk about.
Well, it's almost like there's so much stuff to talk about. We just got to just dive in. Man.
Tell me about Adam Eaton. You had some great things going on here.
Yeah. So Adam Eaton, you know, gets traded, comes back. Excuse me. This is going to be terrible.
Thanks for showing up for the podcast today, Hopgood. Maybe we should hold off until tomorrow.
No, I think we're good.
Are you sure? Maybe you should try the water.
So I know I was going to get that in a second.
Oh, is there whiskey in that thing?
No.
Then you definitely, you should have done that.
Should have.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, one of the things is, as a veteran is you have your superstitions and all that stuff. Well, Adam Eaton wears number one. And so when he's signing, he wants to get his number. And what's going to be funny is there's somebody that already has that number. And with him, where the heck is it? He's got to go to the guy and kind of like, hey, can I have my number? So it'll be interesting to see how much money he's going to have to, or what he's going to have to do to earn his number back. Should be interesting.
This is a thrilling story.
Well, no, because there's some
who's
guys
number one.
I'm getting there. That's what I'm working on right now, and is really upsetting me.
Well, let's say while Hoppy's looking that up, we'll go through the numbers. So Adam Eaton signed a 1-year, $7 million contract with a second year club option for 8.5 with a $1 million buyout. So essentially he's got a 1-year, $8 million contract.
It's a good deal.
With another 8.5 following up if he has a decent season. And when you pair that with the other deal that they made this week, it's looking pretty good because the White Sox you know, they got a throwback manager in Tony La Russa who likes to drink and drive.
Likes to throw them back.
Yeah. And they bring in a throwback pitcher that throws 130 pitches a game and Lance Lynn to go Lance along Lynn. With that Adam Eaton number one story yep. that Hoppy's going to tell us right now.
Nah, I can't find it.
He's not going to find it. So they're adding to what was an already good team that somehow managed mm-hmm. to get their manager fired last year.
Well, they're seeing their window, and then they're seeing who can get us past that speed bump that we got stuck on last year. So if you bring in a different manager, I mean, that's what's tough about this game is, okay, people are judging you going, this is as good as this guy can do. I need somebody to get us over the hump. So you bring in a legendary coach, Tony La Russa, to run it. And maybe it's, okay, look, as much as we have the analytics, I need that experience. I need that gut check. I need something to get my players to get over the yeah. over the hump.
But you could also say that they completely overachieved last year and weren't even supposed to do what they did, and the manager had them on the upswing.
Right.
So, and then they just lost at the end in the COVID season where nobody knew what was going on at all. It was just this crazy shortened season. And then they bring in, I mean, Lance Lynn's a great pitcher. He's done fine in the major leagues. But realistically, he's a 500 pitcher that's right. going to have an ERA around 3.8, you know, somewhere in that area. And he's going to throw you a lot of innings. So, and they're going to be quality. Some are going to be amazing. Some are going to be eh. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to go out there and, you know, have a 54, you know, inning in a row scoreless streak. You know, he's not that guy. He's not going to go out and strike out 20 every game.
Right. But what he's going to give you a 50-50 chance of winning,
yeah.
which a lot of pitchers, you don't have that.
And he's going to make it so your bullpen doesn't have to work every day.
Right.
Which is the exact opposite right. of baseball nowadays. So, mm-hmm. but in a 162 game season, that's what you need. If you have a real roster size
right. you gotta get with, a guy
without three extra
innings.
Players, mm-hmm. if where you don't have 20 pitchers on your roster, you need a guy like Lance Lynn that's going to go.
Right. There's no way a major league bullpen could sustain 162 like they did last year in 60.
Five inning starters?
Zero chance. You would have arms blown up all over the place.
Yeah, you'd be rolling. There'd be teams with 30, 35 pitchers that pitch for him across the season. Yeah.
And also, the White Sox added Howie Clark, hitting coach.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was with Baltimore. And now he's with the old White Sox.
Yeah, back in the day, I believe I played in a game against Howie Clark at Bluefield, which no longer has a affiliated minor league team.
I was his backup in All-Stars in Little League.
It was, what? You oh, were?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. Wonderful place to play in Bluefield, by the
Bluefield.
Way. That was a beautiful, beautiful stadium, which now is part of, I think, the Appalachian
Collegiate
Woodbat League.
Yeah, we got a couple former players of mine that are coaching at Bluefield at the college.
Wow. So it sounds wonderful.
It is. It's a beautiful ballpark.
I don't know how we got off on that tangent.
I don't know.
But it's got a beautiful brick wall and trees out behind the outfield.
Gorgeous. I've seen pictures.
It's got blue skies. And if I remember correctly, there was a Long John Silver right across from the hotel because there was really nowhere to eat around the hotel that we were staying in and every trip we took there.
That took you to a different place, didn't it?
That was a little Bob Ross feeling right there. I don't know. It's like some happy clouds.
Oh, God.
Those were the good old days.
You start doing some additives to this coffee.
All right. So the White Sox are looking like they could be a powerhouse next year.
They see their window. They see their window right now with young, controllable players. They're bringing in a couple of veterans, and they're going to see what they can do.
Yeah, and it's all going to come down to whether or not their young players can repeat what they did last
exactly.
year.
Exactly, yeah.
And I believe Abreu was second team All-MLB mm-hmm. to see. Another interesting signing came from the Royals, where they signed Carlos Santana to a two-year, $17.5 million contract, trying to build up their offense a little bit, add a little bit of power. He's coming off a very disappointing season last year. I believe he hit sub 200, but yeah. I think he had 11 home runs.
Well, and this was what's so weird about this year was there were players that typically dominate that had terrible years. You know, I mean, Yelich, Yelich was non-existent this year, and he was an MVP candidate. I mean,
well, he went 0 for the first 20 games.
He was it was a struggle. So, you know, I think that's a great pickup, because if he goes back to his form, he's an all-star. So, God, it's so hard to grade guys off of last year. You know, there's going to be some interesting signings, and you're like, why did they do that? Well, because the other team looked too much into 2020 and said, well, that's not going to work. He's done. Yeah. So hopefully for Santana, you know, things turn around for him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, we just went through the winter meetings where there's supposed to be big signings all the way through. And I think, you know, teams are holding back because they don't know when spring training is going to start. They don't know when the season is going to start. They don't know how many games they're going to play. They're supposedly not using the DH in the National League. And there's like full on two starting winning teams of free agents out there that didn't get signed at the winter meetings.
Oh, I'm looking at the list right now. The latest free agents that are still available: Springer, George Springer, Trevor Bauer, Realmuto, LeMahieu, who? Ozuna.
Realmuto?
Realmuto.
Realmuto?
Realmuto. Nelson Cruz, Liam Hendricks, Didi Gregorius, Tanaka, Paxton. I mean,
yeah, it's an all-star
loaded.
Team.
It's loaded. An all-star
team. And you got a guy like Kyle Schwarber who got DFA'd. And then you go, okay, Schwarber, big bat, a lot of power. And then you go look and you're like, oh, 200 to 250, 30 home runs. Do you want that playing left field? Like, that's great for a catcher, mm-hmm. but a left fielder, you know, do I really want a guy that's going to hit 30 home runs and bat 220?
Or do I need another DH if I'm in the American League? Do I need another DH?
Well, Schwarber would be great for a National League team that needs a DH. Just roll him out there against righties.
But we don't know if we're going to have the DH.
Exactly. It hurts his value. It
hurts his value. I don't know. But the second I heard that Schwarber got let go, I'm like, oh, he's got to sign with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Put that bat on that stadium half the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Loving it. So it'll be, God, it's just, and I don't, the contracts aren't going to be the same. They're just not. I don't think you're going to see
when you see Adam Eaton get a $7 million a year contract and he off a down year, couple years. And I mean, he did fine in Washington, but not the same as he did in for the White Sox.
No,
he still got, as a veteran, it was only a 1 year deal with an option, but it was still $7 million. That's nothing to sneeze at. Right. It's not 30.
It's not league minimum. Yeah.
You know, it's not 30 million, but you know, I mean, the guy's going to make $7 million next year. That's not too bad.
Yeah. And with the young guys, I mean, is it a role guy? Is it a 50-50 thing? Is it a splits thing? It'll be interesting to see how they use them. So, nice pickup for him though. Gets to, you know, finish where he got started. But
yeah, I mean, and Carlos Santana got, you know, almost $9 million a year coming off a 190 season, and he's getting up there in age.
Yeah.
So. And that's from the Royals. And
the Royals
wouldn't give that much money to somebody.
Yeah, well, they want professional at bats, and you know, they went through that another rebuild. Yeah. So,
One other transaction that came out of the winter meetings that I think everybody was surprised about was the Phillies picking up Dave Dombrowski.
Dave Dombrowski, and I was, you know, he was trying to do that team. I think he was trying to get a team in Nashville. And in that group, and when the Phillies said announce him, you know, director of player baseball operations, you're like, wow, the Phillies, they needed it. They're trying to find that different voice,
yeah,
because what they did hasn't worked.
They just spent money.
Yeah,
you know, all-star teams don't always win every day.
No, the Padres proved that. You got old school mentality. Like he came out and said, he goes, I want my pitchers going 6, 7, 8 innings. So, okay. So all your analytic guys are like, well, wait a minute. This guy, no, Dombrowski wants the starting pitchers to go as long as they can.
And that's how it should be. If you're doing the right analytics on the offensive side, you should be able to score enough runs to allow your pitcher to go 7 innings on the other side.
Right. Right. Well, with him, but he's notorious. For trading away prospects and bringing in prime time players. Like, we're going to give up the farm and we're going to go get these guys and we're going to go win. And he did that in Detroit and came up a little short. Then he goes to Boston and he wins a World Series.
Kind of worked a little.
Yeah.
Just a smidge. A
little bit. Now, they gave up the farm, but they went and got guys. They got David Price. They got Chris Sale. They got all these dudes.
What's your goal?
Yeah. Your goal is to win the World Series.
Your goal isn't to, like, make sure my team wins, you know, 82 games for 15 years. Your goal is, I'm going to go win the World Series. And then if something bad happens, we might not win the World Series, but there's always next year, and we'll go try to win it again. Right,
we'll try to figure it out then.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what's the biggest thing in San Diego? We never won a World Series. And what are we chasing right now? We're chasing a World Series. So if you got to give up, you know, a couple of those guys in that are studs on your AAA and AA teams to go get a World Series, well, then you do it.
Well, the thing about that is they're just projected.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah, was it a, you know, parades or prospects are cool and parades are cooler. So that's, you know, I've heard that for years and you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds, but you get the mentality of Dombrowski going, all right, so who do I have to give up to get this guy so we can go win this year? So it'll be interesting to see what he does in Philly, because there's a bunch of question marks, on that ball club.
Yeah, and I think his quote was, we're going to retool, not rebuild.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know what that does for, you know, the catcher that I can't pronounce is Remenuto.
Well, he's a free agent, so he can do whatever he wants.
Do they bring him back and say, hey, look, you know, we brought you in here for that? Or do they go, you know, try to trade for a guy or bring up a young dude and see what's going on?
You know, this is going to sound blasphemous.
Ooh, big word.
But I'd rather see them trade their right fielder to the Yankees for Torres and Sanchez and build their team stronger at multiple positions instead of paying one guy $30+ million a year.
Wow. Harper to the Yankees.
And pick up two or three starting players.
Oh, I would need three at minimum. Big league and prospects. I need six for one if I did that.
I don't think so. Like, if you're really looking to retool to make your team better, you can bring in guys that are controllable for 3 or 4 years that are quality major league players that are still showing potential to be great. I you can take three.
Well, I'm telling
you. Three field players. It's different than pitchers, right?
If this rumor gets out, because I know so many people in the MLB world listen to our podcast, if Bryce Harper's name starts coming up in trade talks with the Yankees, I want you to get full credit, because that is a serious pull. And it could make a lot of sense. There's guys that the Yankees have that are part-time guys that should be everyday mm-hmm. starters that you can go, hey, I'll give up this guy, and this guy for Harper. And I'm going to stick Harper in center field in Yankee Stadium with Judge in right. And I don't care who's in left. I'll bring back Gardner if I have to. And that outfield's legit.
Well, think about your lineup. You got Judge leading off for batting second. You've got Harper batting third, and you got Stanton batting fourth.
If he's healthy, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's ways you can
only do one that. Of those guys is left-handed and can hit the ball to right field.
Yeah.
At Yankee Stadium. How many home runs is that?
That's a bunch. It's a bunch of home runs for him. And then, you know, Judge going oppo, which he does really well in that stadium. Now, that would be a great pull. And that would retool your Phillies if you're a Phillies fan.
Yeah, and the Yankees aren't happy with Torres. I mean, Cashman came out yesterday and said he came in, you know, out of shape in the second spring training. It took him 40 games to get back in shape playing well. He played fine over the last 20, and he's a better second baseman than a shortstop. He flat out said that about Torres.
Yeah. That and you know, the Phillies need a shortstop. So it'll be there. I mean, that's the crazy stuff, is that Dombrowski would do that deal. He would do that.
I'd do that deal if I was playing it on
get off
MLB 21.
Hell yeah. You keep adding players until it accepts it. So
exactly.
But I think well, oh man, it's going to be interesting, because you don't know what he's going to do. Mm-mm. I mean, there's been some trades. You're like, where did that come from?
So
Dombrowski to Philly.
I think the first thing you have to do is consider trading Bryce Harper. That's the first thing. That's all your money. Wow. What value are you getting at? You're selling some tickets. Mm-hmm. You're selling some merch. But as far as winning games, if he doesn't hit 300, if you're 320 with 40 home runs.
And make the playoffs.
There's no value there.
And make the playoffs.
Exactly. There's no value in having that guy.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole, you know, you talk about Trout the same way. It's like, you know, same deal. You got it.
Except
you want to be the guy that says I traded.
Well, the Angels
Bryce
can't,
Harper.
The Angels can't trade Trout because nobody will go to the games. Like, that's the difference. In Philly, if you make your team win because you're that close to winning, mm-hmm. then people will still come to the games if you trade Bryce Harper. If they trade Mike Trout, if the Angels trade Mike Trout, they're not getting anything back that makes them win right now. So people aren't going to show up. Yeah, they're just going to be mad.
That would be like a 12-for-1 deal.
And the Phillies fans get angry. Really, they're like, ah! But then you win, and they're like, yeah! And then they still throw stuff at you.
Right. Well, maybe the Phillies solved their shortstop problems by picking up San Diego native Kyle Holder, Rule 5. Grossmont College, USD. Picked him up, Rule 5. So Kyle Holder filled out from the Yankees. He was with the Yankees, and now he's with the Phillies as Rule 5. So congrats to Kyle. I had the pleasure of coaching him for a summer, and sweet hands.
Yeah, maybe they pull a trade for Chris Bryant, and then they put those guys on the left
Cubs,
side.
Cubs even said, hey, you know, there's a way that Chris Bryant could start, you know, still be with the ball club.
Why not?
Again, if that's the case, you gotta get a boatload. And if not, then you gotta pay the guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been fighting not to pay him since the very first day he joined the team.
Since the day after and they brought him up instead of starting the team out of spring training, like the Padres did with Tatis. You know, they could have sent him down to AAA and waited a month.
They should have.
Yeah.
They literally should have. I mean, yeah.
Well, when the guy playing third base is, man, if that guy isn't to my left.
That's the thing, right? It's like, okay, your team wants to win and they want this player. You can't do what the Cubs did, right? The team's like, it's obvious there's nobody better than the player we have right now. You cannot send this player down so that you save, you know, 1 year of salary.
Yeah.
Because we have a chance to win, and if we don't win in those first 3 weeks, then it might kill our whole season.
Right.
And you say you want to win, you better not screw this up.
Right. Well, and you know, you hope when it comes contract time to go, hey, look, you know, we started your clock early.
But the Cubs had a player that could play third base mm-hmm. that wasn't going to kill their team, and they didn't lose the games because Chris Bryant wasn't there. So they can play the game.
Right. Well, it's going to end up hurting them, I think.
I don't know. I don't know Chris Bryant personally. I don't know what his feelings are. I'm sure he just likes getting paid to play baseball, like any of us that ever got paid to play baseball, even if it was little, tiny little bits. It sure is nice to get paid to play a game.
Yeah, it's fun.
It was fun.
It was. Good memories. Fun. Memories.
Yeah.
All right.
Nothing like making $850 a month. Did you ever make $850 a month playing baseball?
I think I made $850. I think that was it.
The whole time?
Yeah. I just remember working my ass off in the off season to make sure I had enough money in my account to pay my bills because I knew I was going to go play. And yeah.
I know, man. It's pretty crazy.
It's tough.
When you got a bonus in your independent contract for $500 if you hit 10 home runs.
I had to pay my own way home from Canada. Are you kidding? I had to borrow money. Good times.
That's awesome.
All right.
All right. So that was our story on Philly's day.
Dombrowski.
It went all over the place, but it sure was fun.
Yes.
Okay. So this little segment, now that Hoppy's phone's ringing off the hook, Hoppy wanted to talk about something super cool that came up, I think, on MLB.
Yeah,
.com.
MLB.com.
And it is the all ringless team.
The all ringless team. And these are players that played, you know, a long time and were just on the threshold of a championship but never got one. And you look at these names and you're like, wow, I thought he was on better teams, or I thought they won some championships, and no, they didn't.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go. They got the catcher, the most famous
reindeer of all.
Yes, it is the holiday season. You know, the most iconic. You know, stay fair.
Oh, Fisk.
Carlton Fisk never won a championship.
Dang, White Sox.
Yeah, White Sox, Red Sox.
They had the weird uniforms that actually said Sox on them with the stripes.
But there's a sweet, the logo, I love that logo. It's my favorite. So Carlton Fisk never won a championship. Oh. He's our starting catcher for the All Ringless team.
He's the starting catcher. And gosh, I wish I had a list of all the catchers that didn't have a ring, because I don't know. I might add Benito Santiago to that list.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Just watching his really slow, long swing hit balls to right center was really fun.
Yeah, I just saw a highlight reel of him, and I'm like, you realize how good he was with the Padres?
Yeah.
You know, and then throwing dudes out from his knees. And
he started that trend.
Yeah, he was the new age catcher.
I remember doing it when I was a kid, like, can I throw from my knees all the way to second base?
Thin, athletic, crazy cannon. Instead of the big, bulky, block the ball, block home plate guy, it became a skill position where they just took over on defense.
And then you ended up with like the Craig Biggios, the smaller guys. Mm-hmm. And then they realized that those guys' careers could be longer if they're not catchers and started moving him to other positions. Hey,
matter of fact, you know, he's so good, we're going to put him at second base.
Yeah. so we can play more games.
So Fisk is catching. Recent Hall of Famer, Jeff Bagwell, when he was with Houston, never won a championship.
There's got to be some better first baseman. I mean, Bagwell's a good first baseman. There's got to be somebody.
Well, I mean, like Mo Vaughn. Did he ever win one? I don't think so.
Well, he was with the Red Sox.
Yeah. Mo Vaughn would probably be
he was good.
He was legit.
I liked Mo Vaughn.
Moonshots. Rod Carew, second base. Never won a championship.
Star of the Hanukkah song.
Yeah, right? He converted. Yeah. I mean, as close as he got was the series against the Red Sox when Dave Henderson hit the home run. That would have been his first one.
Yeah, he was such a different style of hitter, too. His swing was different than everybody else's swing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching him play when I was a kid.
Well, he's got like six titles. They named the American League Batting Championship after him. So, he skipped out on that.
Very Tony Gwynn-ish.
Yeah. Robin Yount.
Shortstop, center fielder.
Yeah. A lot of strikeouts. But bombs.
Robin Yount. Man. He's one of those guys that to me is, maybe because I didn't watch him play.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems like borderline when it comes to Hall of Fame, and that like he seems like overly hyped.
Well, he was the Tony Gwynn of the Brewers. He was a namestay. He was gritty. He did whatever needed to.
All right.
Yeah, for a team that wasn't that good.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'd want him playing on my team because you know he only gets hits.
This one, this is a guy that I rooted for so hard, Adrian Beltre.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Eric Owens.
No,
we try to get as many Eric Owens shouts out as we can. The dirty shirt,
that's funny.
The best giveaway in Padre history. Eric Owens dirty shirt. So Beltre, man, that's
so
the Hall of Fame
so
argument, right? And the Hall of Fame argument.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He played like 75 years in Major League Baseball.
But he was good.
And hit 30 home runs every year.
But he was good every year. He didn't just milk it. I mean, he was good every year.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were rooting for him. He got close so many times with the Rangers. And so, Larry Walker.
Man, that 1 year, the strike shortened year of the Expos. They were there. They were loaded. The best team in baseball that year.
Oh, they were phenomenal.
Yeah. Pedro.
Pedro and Randy Johnson are your two starting pitchers. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
They literally didn't win the World Series because of a strike.
Yeah.
And how good was he?
Oh, he was legit.
And then when he went to Colorado,
his swing was, it was beautiful. Absolutely. But you just, and every time you went up to the plate, you're like, he's going to do damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quality.
And he just seemed like a fun, nice guy. I don't know him, but like just watching him play, it just seemed fun.
Yeah.
It's like watching John Kruk, you know, it just like seemed like they were having fun.
He was hilarious because he's playing right field and I'm at the Pottery game and we used to always rag the right fielder, whoever it was. And he cut his hair. He used to have a serious mullet.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And so my buddy stands up and goes, "Hey, Walker, I liked you better with a mullet." He turns around. Like, yes.
Thumbs up, baby.
So good times. Center field, King Griffey Jr.
Man, you think back to those Mariners teams that had A-Rod, Griffey, Edgar, Buehner,
Tino Martinez, Edgar Martinez.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson.
Harold Reynolds.
Harold Reynolds. Cora was on that team. Yeah.
Kingdom, baby. Kingdom.
Absolutely, you know, probably the best. Well, it's the best player I ever saw.
Yeah. It's amazing, you know, to watch that guy play.
Never won a championship.
Yeah. I mean, when he went to Cincinnati, they thought he was going to win. And he just, his body started breaking down.
Yeah.
But man, that's the guy like Barry Bonds that you didn't want to pitch to. Mm-mm. Because any second the ball could leave the yard.
Yeah.
Or he could turn a single into a double or a double into a triple at any second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're like, oh, such a great career. Didn't win a championship. Oh. Now you know why guys say, look, trade me, get me out of here. I want to go win a championship. I need that, not ring. I need that like stamp on my career. Now, the next guy you just mentioned, Barry Bonds.
Ooh, Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds.
Hall of Famer, number one on our OTC Hall of Fame list.
Which is official.
Official OTC.
Yes.
OTC official. Not MLB or baseball writers official.
No. OTC is better.
Probably never will be.
Global.
But that guy, whoo, jeez. With Pittsburgh, those teams were good.
Yeah.
They never won and somehow never won. They didn't win the World Series until after he left.
So close.
And they went on their every other year run of World Series championships.
It's crazy. But just look at that ball club of how many players you're like, dude, that guy was good. That guy was good. That guy was good. That guy was good. And they never won a championship. Tony Gwynn never won a championship.
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
you know,
the Giants had Kent, Clark, Bonds. I mean,
loaded.
Yeah.
Never won.
Plus the pitching.
Pitching was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that leads me into this is why you see guys that get disgruntled because they're like, there's no way I'm going to win a championship with this team. You know, what's going to be my legacy is I'm not going to win.
Yeah. And if you're not in a big market, you're not going to get the credit either.
Yeah. Why do players want to go to New York? Why do players want to go to Boston? Why do players want to go to LA now? Why do players want to go to Houston? Because they're in it to win it every year.
You mean they don't want to go to Kansas City or Miami?
Right. And that's what, bless you. And that's where
I hoppied it. Sorry.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, you say, okay, well, we're going to go get all these guys and hope that we win because we want people to come here because we're winning. So that's where an owner just got to open. The Padres flat out came out 2 years ago, said, if we don't win, heads are going to roll. I'm tired of losing.
And they lost one of their owners because
of it. Tired of not winning, you know?
Yeah.
So
It's no fun to come to the ballpark and watch a game and your team loses.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
If you're a player, you're an owner, whatever, it's just not fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations to the all ringless team.
That was all of them?
That was all of them.
Just dudes
from starting nine.
Did we just go through nine players? Because I only heard like four.
Fisk, Bagwell, Carew, Yout,
Beltre,
Walker, Griffey, Bonds. Oh, we didn't do the... Okay. You got this. You got Smith.
Oh, Lee Smith?
Lee Smith.
Closer of the Cubs.
Closer. And...
84 Padres. Sorry, Lee Smith.
Yeah, poor guy. And then Phil Negro.
Ooh.
Is our starting pitcher. We're going to bring him out. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. I knew there were more players.
Yeah. Oh, and then our DH, Edgar Martinez.
Of course.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah. All right. So that list is pretty crazy. But this list that we're about to share right now is something you've been waiting for your whole podcast life. Here we are in episode 27. Yes. And dun, this dun, is dun. Something that you wanted to talk about the whole time. And I finally unlocked your potential of awesomeness by letting you tell this story of the greatest minor league team name.
The minor league team names. I always love it when, especially with a new one, but you go through, you know, all these teams and, you know, it's not like, oh, the Travelers or whatever. I like the crazy names because they want me, I want to buy their shirt or their hat or something crazy like that. So just like going through this list, there's some you're like, how the heck did they get that approved? And these are all names from the new list of because, you know, minor leagues got reduced down all this stuff.
Yeah, so we can talk about that next, actually. I've got a list of the 40 of at least 43 teams that were removed from minor league baseball. And
So the Angels have a double A team.
Have or had?
Have.
Okay.
This is current.
Oh, current.
The Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Sorry, I just blew you. I didn't hear Hoppy's list.
No, this is great.
Sorry, I just blew up your ears with my laugh, but that's a great name.
The Trash Pandas.
Somebody's got to buy me that hat. Hey, please, please ship that to H12 for Shane Hobbs.
There you go. Now, who goes, hey, I got a cool name. Let's call us the Trash Pandas. Yeah. okay, let's do it. What? the Trash Pandas.
What are their uniforms? What's their hat? Oh, my God. Please tell me their uniforms are black and white.
Gotta be amazing. Oh.
They got to have a giant raccoon face on their hat.
Something. The Trash Pandas. The Astros AAA team is in Sugarland. It's the Skeeters.
The Skeeters.
Let's go, Skeeters.
Yeah, I like
that. Love that one.
You might as well, if you're going to get bit by mosquitoes, you might as well name your team after it.
Right. And then their low A team is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Oh. Can you imagine the stadium like rally time? Yep. Woodpeckers, something like that. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. I'm probably going to say it wrong. But no, I won't do it. The Shuckers. The Brewers double A, Biloxi Shuckers.
What does that rhyme with?
That's what I'm saying about the seventh inning. If they're losing.
If you say it wrong, you could get yourself on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, the seventh inning of and you're losing, that team name changes.
Even our crowd likes this one.
Our fans going nuts. The Diamondbacks double A, the Amarillo Sod Poodles.
Sod Poodles.
Yep. What the heck's a sod poodle? No idea.
It's a weird name for a baseball player, apparently.
Yeah. And then the Giants double A, the Richmond Flying Squirrels.
Oh, there you go.
Like squirrels wasn't enough.
Yeah,
we got to go with the Flying Squirrels.
Got to be flying.
Indians double A, the Akron Rubber Ducks.
Rubber Ducks. Mm-hmm. Rubber Ducky, you're the one.
Mm-hmm.
You make bath time lots of fun. you never watched Sesame Street?
I
Bert and Ernie?
Yeah.
You've got freaking kids.
I just didn't know we were going to start singing.
No, you want to get some singing. I can do some Rush for you.
That's okay.
Okay. It wouldn't have been good anyways.
Now, a few podcasts ago, we talked about team names and basically they were all became food, you know, so that we didn't, you know, offend anybody.
Can't offend anybody.
Right. So the Marlins AAA team is the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. And it is, that's their name.
Please tell me they got the Bubba Gump logo. Please tell me.
They better.
They're wearing Bubba Gump hats. Please they say they're wearing.
I don't know. I'm going to check it out though. But I just find it interesting that Jacksonville and the Marlins, who listen to this podcast, took us up on the Jumbo Shrimp name.
But you do know that's actually an animal. It's a fish.
I know, but it's not offensive.
It could be to the shrimp.
It doesn't kill people.
It kills shrimp.
Shrimp
kills people. Some people are allergic to fish.
Yeah, well, then don't eat it.
They need to be allowed to eat fish, even if they're allergic. You need to know this about our society.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Mets double A is the Bingham Rumble Ponies.
Oh, my God. The Rumble Ponies?
Rumble Ponies.
What the hell's with the Rumble Ponies?
I have no idea.
Why they couldn't be the My Little Ponies because of licensing?
I guess so. Rumble.
Great choice.
Rumble.
Great choice.
Fun times. Actually, my nephew played for this team with the Rangers, the Down East Wood Ducks.
Wood Ducks?
The Wood Ducks. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not getting as big a response out of
that. The Montgomery Biscuits.
I like that. I had biscuits and gravy for breakfast the other day. It was so good.
Mm.
Love biscuits and gravy.
The Daytona Tortugas. Not the turtles. The Tortugas.
Are they? Do they dress up
as the Reds?
As, Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, it's the Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a Tortuga in Pirates, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rockies double A is the Hartford Yard Goats.
I want a yard goat. Go long, goat!
Ah, you button hook me.
Yeah. That's right in the eye.
Yeah. Indirect quote on that one.
Yes, I can't remember them all.
Yeah.
But I did go to the Ragu Festival last weekend.
Ragu Festival. Yes. The Wichita. Now, see, if I remember correctly, Wichita was always the Wingnuts. And now they're with the Twins, and they are the Wichita Wind Surge.
What?
Mm-hmm. Wind Surge.
Can't they just be, can't everybody from Wichita just be the Shockers?
The Shockers. That would be great. Just the entire state.
The whole state of Wichita?
Yeah. Whole Wichita. Yeah.
The whole state of Wichita is the Shockers?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's a state.
Yeah. The White...
Wait, let's go. Wind Surge?
Wind Surge.
I know it's windy there, but what the heck is a wind surge?
A surge of wind?
How do you display that?
They should have been like the Wichita Breeze.
Yeah,
that's like that's a better name. They should have asked me for this. Wind Surge.
Mm-hmm. They need to rethink that one.
They do. Yep. The White Sox A-ball. Right. The cantaloupes.
Oh, the cantaloupes?
The cannonballers.
Cannonball.
So I just some of those.
Sorry.
Some of those names I found very interesting.
Look up the song by the Breeders called Cannonball. You'll hear that melody I just pushed into the microphone.
You got it. So I don't know, just some names I thought that were interesting. But yeah, merchandising, I guess.
Oh, I love minor league baseball hats. They're so great.
Yeah, the good times.
Yeah.
All right.
So also this week, as we stay on this topic of minor league baseball, the major league baseball restructured all of the minor leagues. And basically every team now has four minor league teams,
mm-hmm.
which means about 43 teams after they restructured and pulled some independent league teams into minor league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 43 teams that don't have teams that are affiliated anymore with a major league organization.
So those cities. Yeah.
Yeah. So affiliated with an organization. So some of them were put in a college league and things like that. And I just kind of wanted to go through the list. So, they started a new league called the Appalachian Collegiate Summer League, which is pretty much the former Appalachian League, which was a short season A-ball for people that are just coming out of college or coming out of high school to get a short season.
Right. They get drafted in June.
Yeah.
When everything's already started.
And they can go play. And so, this league's kind of holds a little close to my heart because my first year playing, I played in almost all of these cities. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of hurts me a little bit that none of these teams are affiliated anymore. But so Bluefield, like we talked before, used to be an Orioles a long time ago. It was with the Blue Jays now, and they're now in this Appalachian Collegiate Summer League. Bristol, which was in Bristol, Virginia, is the Pirates. I also played in Bristol, Tennessee.
Yeah.
That used to be in this league, but that's not the case anymore. Burlington, North Carolina, doesn't have a team anymore. They're in this league. Elizabethton, Tennessee, Danville, Virginia, Greenville, Tennessee, Johnson City, Tennessee. Shout out to Cheese 23, who before I ever met Cheesy, though we were from the same town.
Yes.
We played against each other when I played for the Martinsville Phillies and he played for the Johnson City Cardinals.
Johnson City.
We played against each other in spring training in Florida and in Johnson City and Martinsville before we ever met.
That's crazy.
And we actually met on the bench at a San Diego Stars practice.
Get out of here. That's crazy.
We looked down. I was at one end of the bench and he was at the other bench. And there was somehow nobody in between. And we both kind of turned our heads and looked at each other and like, you look so familiar. And he goes, did you play with the Phillies? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I played with the Cardinals in Johnson City and we exchanged names. We're like, oh my God. He goes, we hated pitching against you.
Oh, that's awesome.
You crushed us. And I'm like, dude, I hated hitting against you. And like, we met on the bench at a Stars practice. Even though we lived in the same city, we went to opposing high schools, played against each other in high school, played against each other in professional, didn't meet until we were playing for the San Diego Stars after, you know, our careers took speed bumps and became great friends after that.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
And it all ties to Johnson City, Tennessee.
Johnson City.
Yeah. And then also Kingsport, Tennessee, Princeton, West Virginia, and Pulaski, Virginia. They are all part of this Appalachian Collegiate Summer League that I'm guessing is going to rival the Cape Cod Summer League or try to put it out of business.
Yeah. Well, I think there's going to be so many players. I think they needed to add another quality sponsored league like this because there's going to be so many players that come out of college that don't have a place to play or, you know, your sophomores and juniors that are trying to get looks. They haven't played in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be 2 years but the next time that they get on a ball field in those leagues again.
Yeah.
From missing last year. And then, you know, who knows what's going to go on for this year and how long it's going to go. So they need more opportunities. The Trash Panthers are showing up. They're mad because I talked about them.
You might not hear that, though. You might not hear it, but it was really loud. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what goes on there. So then, on top of that, the MLB, there's a new MLB Draft League. And it's Mahoning Valley, Ohio, State College, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, formerly with the Pirates, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Trenton, New Jersey, and Frederick, Maryland. Trenton used to be a Double-A Eastern League team, and Frederick was a High-A Carolina League, and then the others were from the short-season New York Penn League. I'm assuming this is going to be a short-season league that teams can send players to, and they'll be mixed together on teams?
I think what it's going to be is like a select, like, guys that...
This is going to be like 35th round guys that they don't have a spot for on their other right. four teams that they're going to send in.
Because they're going to shorten a draft again to a certain amount of rounds. I think they're going to go 20.
Oh, okay.
And then if you would have been like a 21st to 40th round guy, they're going to invite you to come and play in this league and kind of be like, you know, a universal rookie ball league, you know, so
of non-signed players
okay.
I was kind of thinking it would be the opposite,
so it'd be like a pool, but they're getting things paid for.
Okay,
so it's almost like the travel squad.
Okay. So that also fits in with the next league, which is the Pioneer Independent League, which is going to be subsidized by Major League Baseball, I'm assuming, since they're putting teams in it.
Yeah.
And this includes Billings, Montana, and Missoula, Montana. I believe both were independent teams previously. Great Falls, Montana, which used to be a White Sox team. Idaho Falls, Idaho, which was a Royals team. Ogden, Utah, which was a Dodgers team. Grand Junction, Colorado, which was a Rockies team. Orem, Utah, which was an Angels team, and Rocky Mountain, which in Colorado, which was a Brewers team, are going to become a Pioneer Independent League if they all accept.
Right. And I think that's going to be, you know, subsidized by MLB. And again, it's giving more opportunities, but you know, you're getting out of there's a lot of cities that aren't going to have baseball this year.
We're getting to that next.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. No, I don't want to step. Okay.
So no current league. So these are teams that Major League Baseball just didn't extend anything.
So cities that are traditionally longstanding professional ball clubs in their city.
All affiliated teams, all affiliated with an organization. Lowell, Massachusetts, which was a Red Sox team. There's a lot of uproar about this one. Hagerstown, Maryland, which was a Nationals team. That they had a cool logo, so I liked them. Burlington, Iowa, which was an Angels team. Clinton, Iowa, which was a Marlins team. Kane County, Illinois, which was Diamondbacks. Lexington, Kentucky, which was Royals. Charlotte, Florida, which was the Rays. West Virginia, which was in Charleston, was the Mariners. Northport, Florida, which was Braves. Salem, Kaiser, Oregon, which was the Giants. Another one that they just built this one here. They built a stadium specifically for this team. And the Yankees assured them that they would have a team forever, and that's Staten Island. Ouch. And they ditched them.
Yeah.
Batavia, New York, which was the Marlins. Auburn, New York, which was the Nationals. Norwich, Connecticut, which was the Tigers. Tri-City, New York, which was the Astros. Vermont, Burlington, which was the A's. Lancaster, California, which is the Rockies. I'm kind of okay with that one because nobody wants to go
Lancaster.
There.
Lancaster.
Just kidding, Lancaster. I'm sorry, you lost your team. And then Boise, Rockies. Just an asterisk in this particular place here. Lancaster may become a low class A Rockies affiliate if Fresno turns down an invitation to A-ball from their AAA program that they had last year.
And from a fan's perspective, you would go to those AAA games because you're like, that guy's a big leaguer. Yeah. That guy's a big leaguer. And I saw them win. Now you're going to get, you know, the 21-year-old or the 20-year-old, and the quality of play is going to be less. And it's not what you're used to. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Right. And it's not as big a deal for the Appalachian Collegiate Summer League. They're used to seeing major league players, but they were seeing the first year major league players, right? So they might be able to sell that. The same with maybe the Pioneer Independent League and the MLB Draft League, because they were, you know, for the most part, lower level minor league teams. Mm-hmm. You might see a couple of major leaguers in 4 or 5 years, you know. But when you talk about Fresno going from a AAA team to an A-ball team, even the Padres, Lake Elsinore going from the high A team to a low A team, you wonder what that's going to do, because they're used to having players that were on the cusp. The top draft picks that come in an A-ball that were set for the big leagues, those players aren't going to go to Lake Elsinore in their first year anymore.
Right.
So really, really interested to see what happens here.
Well, the cool thing about Lake Elsinore is the stadium's amazing.
Oh, and their logo's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And they do good marketing and this and that, but you're not going to get the same quality of players. So I'm curious to see if that changes the attendance.
Yeah, I think in that area, I don't think so. I think they enjoy their baseball a lot.
Well, here's the other thing that might happen. Since it's low A, rehabbing major league players might not go there anymore.
I don't know. A lot of things got to get restructured now. You know, like you just said, okay, I got a big leaguer. Am I going to rehab him in double A, or am I going to rehab him in high A or low A? And you know, Elsinore is probably the shortest trip.
It is. It absolutely is.
So maybe we'll just send him there, get him ready, and then take the, you know, hour and 25 minutes.
We're going to send him to San Antonio when they can drive an hour.
Right.
But now it's a low A team. So do you really want your major league player going and playing low A ball with the pitchers that
97 and no clue?
Yeah.
There you go.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah. A lot of things. It's just.
But yeah, so that's a lot of teams. And a lot of cities that you know, supported their teams that don't have teams anymore.
And those aren't, some of those are not very big towns.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they only survive because that team's in there for the summer.
Right. So you go to Lancaster, are they going to be able to support an independent team with an owner paying for everything? I'm not so sure.
No, I think it's been tried there. It didn't work.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in Staten Island, because there's a little more money in Staten Island that they could support a team, but maybe in Lowell, Massachusetts. But I mean, a lot of them are small towns.
Yeah. Yep. Been there. We've been there. You know, and they love their teams.
They absolutely.
They love them. They love them. So it's tragic. Now, from a business side of things, is it probably a good move? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
But from a fan perspective and a economic for those cities, some of them is going to be detrimental.
Well, if I'm a Major League Baseball team and I am scouting the world for players, and do I need 180 players in my minor league system to feed 25 for 26 players on my major league team, or to feed my 40-man roster? I really need three teams, probably. You probably don't even need four. You have a fourth one so that you have some lower developmental players, and then you have your top two teams where your players that are going to fuel your program. But do you need six? I don't know.
No, and they're still going to have extended spring, aren't they?
I didn't get into that. I don't know. I can't.
I don't know if that's been decided as how they're going to run, you know, their spring training. Who stays back, or is it one of those things where, oh, you're on IL? Okay, you have to go to the spring training.
Yeah.
And rehab there.
I think the one place it hurts, though, is marketing for Major League Baseball. This has been a big marketing hit, like losing all these teams and the way they've taken over minor league baseball. But more importantly, these clubs that were affiliated, they built baseball fans, right? And so when you take 43 teams away, that's 43 cities that might not be as interested in your sport.
Right.
And so that...
Yeah, they go, screw you, you took our team.
Yeah, just like the Chargers did with the Spanoses.
Yeah.
But so that, I think that's where they haven't managed the marketing as well. They didn't create opportunities for a bunch of those teams to play anywhere. They're just like, see ya. And those fans are left in a lurch. Like they had a reason to watch their teams play. They had a reason to watch, you know, the Royals play, because there was a group of people in Lexington, Kentucky that became Royals fans because their team was, you know, now that's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be really interesting. Like when you're building Marlins fans in Iowa and now you're not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and you're building A's fans in Vermont. You know, now you're not doing that anymore. So what's going to happen?
I remember seeing that guy in Double A.
Yeah. And all of a sudden a person in Vermont's an Oakland A's fan.
Right.
That's not going to happen. And so when you take those teams away, how does that affect the bottom line? Not today.
Because this is in 15 years.
And it's going to hurt the game, and it might not be completely detrimental. You know, the NFL doesn't even have, you know, developmental leagues to build this type of fans, but Major League Baseball did. They had a pipeline to build fans, and they've killed off part of that pipeline.
Yeah. No, it's another you know, victim of this whole pandemic is, I guarantee you, the teams look great March 16th. Everything was great March 16th last year. And then everything, you know, got just tossed up in the air, and so, oh boy, you know, it's so frustrating. I you can just go down the list of things of that got screwed up, which is everything.
No, everything.
So
the only thing that somehow didn't get screwed up is the stock market. They're quite sure how that's happened.
Let me go back to March 13th and make some investments real quick. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, if you got a time machine, Zoom might be a good choice. Yeah.
Zoom,
Home Depot, Costco,
plexiglass, hand sanitizer,
yeah,
toilet paper,
toilet paper manufacturing. If you want to start, if you could start your toilet paper business in February of 2020, you're on fire.
You would be rolling.
I think there's only one person laughing. Whoa, your face is red. Dude. You just killed yourself.
I'm so funny sometimes. All right, I'm good.
I'm just good. Saying with that, man, I think we need to know what time it is.
Oh, it's 9:53.
Yeah, it's that time.
All right.
It's that time.
With that one there, folks.
we're out of here.
Oh my gosh.
Woo!